Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
It's Rick Tittle.
All righty then, it is a Two for Tuesday edition of Titillating Sports. Double shots of Van Halen, you know the rest. 1-800-878-PLAY is the number to get in and get heard. 1-800-878-7529. We're here for you. We're going to talk some sports. And the great thing about me is I'm so handsome. No. Is that I'll talk about any sport you would like. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, Quidditch, rollerball, chess, checkers, rugby, cricket, all that good stuff. And all under one roof at sportsbyline.com as well. If you want to go to the website, click Listen Live. You can hear us over there. If you'd like to get in and get heard, though, as I said, you just call up the toll-free line at 1-800-878-PLAY. Emails rick@sportsbyline.com. It is Tuesday. We're going to have an extended sailing segment from 9:25 to the end of the hour. Open lines on the other side of this break. We need to talk about MLB. Did we get an agreement? Did we, Bueller? The deadline has been extended to today, 5 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about that. Also Barcelona. About an hour and a half, we'll have author Brendan Slocum. He has a new thriller, a novel, The Violin Conspiracy. And this has already won tons of awards, and it's going to be a huge deal. Already is. Bruce Marshall's going to slip and slide in there somewhere, plus Caitlin Clark. Is Caitlin Clark coming up next? Caitlin Clark is coming up next. I'm sorry, I thought she was at 10:10. Caitlin Clark is coming up next. She is the best basketball player in the United States for the girls. And I bet you she'd be in the top 10 with them, and she's fantastic. So we'll talk to Caitlin Clark, and then we'll get to sailing. What are we going to do? How are we going to fit it all in? We'll try and find a way. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. No visits to the doctor, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right prescription. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable, and they're made in the USA. They prepare and ship directly, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Plus, there's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code SPORTS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code SPORTS, to receive your first month free.
Do you own an annuity? Either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful, genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful. Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a, he's so handsome, he's a genius.
Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome one of the best basketball players in the country right now, Caitlin Clark of the University of Iowa Hawkeyes program. She is on fire right now, and not literally, she's playing really well, but she is here to talk about how she has a collaboration with H&R Block. And Caitlin, welcome to the show. First of all, congratulations on your success thus far. But this is something that college athletes didn't have to deal with until the very recent times, is that now with NIL, you need this type of protection, don't you?
Yeah, no. Thank you for having me on, first and foremost. It's great talking with you. But yeah, a new campaign with H&R Block, and I'm so thankful they asked me to be a pioneer and really help them with this campaign of creating a fair shot for female college athletes across the board, committing, you know, $1 million to give back to female athletes. And, there are a lot of inequities in college athletics between men and women. So something I'm very passionate about, something they're very passionate about, but also helping explain to college athletes tax guidelines because, you know, NIL is brand new. It's not something we've had to deal with. Obviously, this is the first year. So, you know, I think that's a huge part of it as well, and setting us up to be financially successful down the road.
You know, as you're coming out of Des Moines and, you know, you say, well, if I stay home at Iowa, all my friends and family can come to the games. But, you know, you're a McDonald's All-American. So you got Stanford, you got UConn, you got Tennessee. What was it like, the pull of some of these, like, you know, more established women's basketball programs?
Yeah, those were always there for sure, whether no matter who it was, really, if it was those schools you talked about or even some smaller schools. A lot of people were knocking on my door, but I think overall I just knew I was a homebody and I wanted to stay close to home, close to my family. And I think the support for women's college basketball in this state is tremendous. And, you know, that was a huge reason I stayed here, is because people come to our games, people get excited about the sport here in the state. And, you know, that's just another reason why I love the game, is playing in front of a big crowd.
You know, point guards traditionally would, you know, obviously bring the ball up the court, distribute. But now in the era of Steph Curry, point guards can score 30 points a game, which is basically what you do. So How much did that revolution, that kind of Steph Curry kind of changed the position? How did that affect you?
Yeah, and like you said, Steph Curry really has changed the game. He's changed the position, changed the game overall. You know, and he's somebody I've watched over the course of the past few years, and I really love his game. And, you know, people try to compare us to, but no, he's tremendous. And, you know, he gets people excited about the game, and somebody I love to watch, and has really changed the game overall. And, you know, I think it's the same thing that some female athletes can do as well. It's just people need to tune in and watch that, and it can be exciting.
You know, and I think about probably a lot of your classmates from Des Moines didn't get to go to Hungary or Thailand or Argentina, represent the United States, come back with gold, gold, gold. What is that like to be such a worldly person at such a young age?
Yeah, I think obviously getting to represent your country at any stage is pretty tremendous, and getting to wear USA across your chest is an experience like no other. And then obviously traveling the world and seeing different cultures, getting to experience different cultures. I think, you know, there are places I'm not sure I would have ever gone in my life if it wasn't for USA basketball. And then obviously winning 3 gold medals, there's just not much like it.
And I would think, too, the way the women's game has grown in the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, when I was in college, if you were 6 feet tall, you'd probably be the center. And now, 6 foot, you probably don't even feel that tall out there.
No, yeah, for sure. I feel like I'm almost 6 feet tall, but I'm a point guard. But, you know, like you said, I think the game has really changed. And obviously, we want to continue to change it more. And that's what me and H&R Block are just really trying to do together. It's creating that ripple effect across female college athletics and giving back that $1 million to female student athletes and, you know, helping us with NIL as this is new. And I think that's so important. And it'll really just help our game grow more and more.
And that's something to keep in mind. As usual, you know, the women are not getting the equal share of this. And so some of these young athletes are getting huge NIL compensation, leaving the women behind. But for every, you know, number 22 jersey that says Clark that gets sold on it, now do you get a piece of that, right?
Yeah, that's the whole goal of it all. And, you know, like you said, there is some inequities, and that's why H&R Block is committing to female athletics, because they've seen that, and, you know, they're a huge company with a huge name, and, you know, I'm just super thankful to be teaming up with them and wanting to just really level the playing field all together. So I'm thankful to be a part of their team and really help move this thing forward.
Yeah, and I was thinking most 20-year-olds aren't, you know, doing a lot of their own tax prep and filing, and H&R Block wants to make sure you get every dollar you deserve, right?
Absolutely, you know. I think that's one of the biggest parts as well. Obviously, this isn't something many college athletes have had to deal with too many times in their life before this. So, you know, H&R Block is really committing to that and helping us and guiding us through those tax preparations. And, you know, it is super important. This is taxable money. And, you know, NIL has only been around for less than a year now. So they're really committing to helping us and setting up our financial futures.
And then, of course, the defensive part of your game, because I had a guy tell me one time, if I score 30, but the guy I'm guarding scores 30, I sort of feel like I didn't do my job. So if you score 38 and the other point guard scores 38, you're not having that, are you?
No, I can't be having that.
So what is there a weakness in your game? Because nobody's perfect. So what do you got to work on a little bit more?
Yeah, I think obviously like turning the ball over, I think, is a big one to continue to improve. I think defensively improving that, and, you know, no matter what's good, I think there's always going to be things that you can point out and improve on. And that's just how anybody is, no matter what. I'm sure Steph Curry, LeBron James have things that they want to get better at too. And, you know, I think any driven athlete is going to have things they want to pick out and work on and improve every single day.
So when you walk down the streets of Iowa City, are you mobbed?
People usually recognize who I am, but for the most part, it's not too horrible. Maybe when we're at Carver at a game, it gets a little crazy, but honestly, it's a lot of young girls that are just super excited. So, you know, I try to make time for all of them that I can, because I feel like I was just that little girl, and, you know, inspiring the next generation is so important. Getting them excited about the game and wanting to play basketball is something I am very passionate about.
That's so awesome. They have someone to look up to. And I know you, who was yours? Was it Maya Moore?
Mm-hmm, yeah, she was definitely my favorite player growing up.
That's cool. Last question for you. I just assumed WNBA playing in the Olympics, your aspirations? What else to which you aspire right now?
Yeah, I think certainly those two for sure. And, you know, obviously I'm only a sophomore, so I have a little more time in college still. So just enjoying every single moment and really soaking it all in, because I think it goes so fast. So, but yeah, those are definitely my dreams and aspirations after leaving here.
There she is, Caitlin Clark, number 22 of your Iowa Hawkeyes. And remember to check out her, the partnership with H&R Block, as she mentioned, committing $1 million through sponsorships and support, giving women college athletes a fair shot of earning income from NIL, name, image, likeness. Caitlin, thanks for coming on, and best of luck. Continue to keep balling like you are.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff. I'm Rick Tittle, and we'll take a quick break and come on back on Sports Byline USA.
Let's say your business does $10,000 to $15,000 or more monthly revenue. There are times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Well, if you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Funding Line. We don't play by bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit, even if your business was affected by the recent pandemic. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000 in one day. That's a $500,000 in one day. Use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money, call now to learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as one day. 800-905-7186. 800-905-7186. 800-905-7186. That's 800-905-7186.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Here's a great way to save money on your prescription medications. If you take Viagra or Cialis, we can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men and women to improve their sexual performance. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get nearly 100. There's no need to pay expensive prices for Viagra or Cialis. Call now with your prescription and pay as little as $2 a pill. We offer 24/7 service and always free delivery and confidential packaging. Change your life for the better and have fun. Call Pharmacy Shop 24/7 to get generic versions of Viagra or Cialis for as little as $2 a pill, plus free discreet shipping.
800-709-4409. 800-709-4409. 800-709-4409. That's 800-709-4409.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday in the first hour, and we always check in, and co-hosting the segment with me is Karen Lyle from SailSportsTalk.com, and we've got a couple segments because we're going to be bringing in some young sailors on the phone from Australia, and we're going to start with Jack Ferguson when we get him, and we're working on getting him right now. Next segment will be a young sailor by the name of Brooke Wilson. Karen Lyle in studio, great to see you again. Tell us a little bit more about who these young sailors are.
Well, as you remember, Inspire SailGP is a race, a program that's put together by SailGP, the Grand Prix, for bringing new sailors into the professional sailing circuit. And so they're starting out with sailors who are under 21, and they've been having races. And these two won the championship in Australia to be coming to San Francisco, so they'll be coming here, and they're very excited. They're sailing on a WASP, I think that's how you pronounce it, as WASZP, small foiling boat, and it's a single handing, so it's really exciting. They're adding that race to the races with the big boats and the F-50s when San Francisco race happens in just about, I guess, 4 weeks.
Now, help me with this. I thought we had SailGP in San Francisco a couple years ago.
We did.
It's the same exact race?
Well, right. Well, no. It is a race for junior sailors, basically.
So it's the junior SailGP?
Yeah, they're calling it the WASP races.
What's the Mubadala? Is that a sponsor?
Very possible. That's a good question we can ask.
What is it about this race that, because you call it the WASP, a WSZP, what is it about these boats that's different?
Well, these are foiling boats, so they lift up out of the water. And as you remember, the SailGP races, when you saw those fast boats when you were coming over the bridge a couple years ago, that they lift up out of the water, and so they have now broken the 50-knot speed limitation. They have like something called cavitation, where the water boils around the bottom of the foil and it kind of keeps it back. But they've broken that speed barrier. These boats go maybe about 25 knots, somewhere close to there. And frankly, that's very, very fast to be on a boat, sailing out there in the bay. It's a very challenging kind of racing, and they're doing it single-handed. So you see them hanging out over the edge, which is, using their weight to balance them, and it's a very competitive race.
Have you ever done that?
I have not done that one, no. But I have definitely seen many. I've been rescued by someone who was on a foiling boat when I was very, very first starting to sail, and I was learning how to capsize and right the boats, which you have to do with those small boats because they will capsize. So you have to be able to get them back up and get going. So I was in a larger, 14-foot dinghy, and I had no sailing experience yet. And my teacher didn't know how to right the new boat, and one of these racers came along, and he just popped up on there and walked up on the boat and set it to rights, and it was very impressive.
Very good. So how do you, if you think about a mast completely submerged, all the weight on the, underwater, how do you flip it back over?
Well, usually it doesn't submerge. Usually it's just floating on the top because it's a
So it's sideways.
Yeah, it's sideways. So what happens is the boat is just on its side.
Okay.
But when we had the America's Cup in New Zealand this last time, and the American team, the American Magic team.
Yeah, we stunk.
Yeah. Well, the American Magic team, it flipped over on its side, and the hull came into the hull, and the boat was actually in threat of capsizing. And then all the teams came and rescued the boat and helped get it from. It's a very expensive boat to have it go down.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get connected with these Australians? Well, it looks like it's going to be sailor. How did you get connected with them?
Well, basically, you remember that we started our show on April 4th of 2019. And it was actually the first guests that we had on our show were Rome Kirby and Mac Ignacy, and then Tom Slingsby. And they were all from the SailGP race. And every time that I've had Christopher Kane on the show during the pandemic.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Oh, he's going to come back. He's,
okay.
he's around. He's around for the SailGP and the America's Cup races for sure.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Anyway, so the SailGP race was started with, I believe it was six teams and their nation teams. And it's now growing. grown to 9. The pandemic kind of delayed things, but they just moved it to Bermuda and other places where they could hold the races. And so they have been having the races. And this is the culmination for the Sail GP of all the races they've had this last year. And so we have all those fast F50s coming here to the San Francisco Bay Area on the 26th and 27th. And that's going to be the championship. I don't remember exactly. Somewhere around $1 million prize for the winner or something like that.
And this is 18 and under?
No. There's two. Remember, Sail GP is the one for the professionals. It's the big boats. It's where you have the teams with several members.
Okay.
And then the Inspire Sailing has these small boats, and this is the entry place to help bring more diversity into
okay.
the sport.
Diversity meaning young people.
Well, not just young people, but women and, you know, and just people from all around the world.
But they're both called Sail GP. That's where I got confused.
Well, Sail GP, I think, is I'm not really sure what the structure is. I know that there's a Sail GP company that was set up by Larry Ellison, but now each of the teams has been purchased by different owners.
All right, let's go ahead. We're still waiting on Jack Ferguson. Let's bring in Brooke Wilson, calling in from Australia, who has been selected to compete in the WASP Grand Final after winning the Inspire Racing X racing competition that took place at the Australia Grand Prix. Brooke, welcome to the show. Have you been to the United States or San Francisco before?
Hi, guys. No, I haven't been to the U.S. just yet, so I'm really excited.
Everything's okay? There's none of that COVID stuff going on or quarantining or all of that?
No, fingers crossed. I think I'll just, like, stay indoors for the week before I leave and have a test my 72 hours before and come over there.
Well, Brooke, I'm really excited to be talking to you. It's, what, 4 or 5 in the morning over there in Australia, and you got up for us. Thank you so much.
That's okay.
Tell us a little bit about this boat. Do we call it a WASP? Is that the right pronunciation for that?
Yep, so it's called a WASP, and it's basically like a bit of a more basic version of a boat called a Moth.
I was thinking so.
Yeah, it's quite a simple design. It doesn't have side stays either, and it's got foils. So they obviously propel you and lift you up out of the water. And the less wetted area in the water makes you go a lot faster. And I don't know too much about foiling myself because I'm actually a laser radial sailor, but that's what I've learned so far.
Well, one thing we know about the Aussies is I think you're like 1% of the population of the world, but you win like 20% of the Olympic medals. You're a very sporty lot down there. That being said, how is it as a female participating? Did you get any pushback, or have we gone past all the chauvinism that sort of was built in for all those years?
Look, I think it's so great that right now it's 50-50 ratio equality with the Inspire program. I think that's a great program into leading women into the high performance nature of the sport and more foiling opportunities. Right now, I spoke to we've got Nina Curtis, and she's the chosen kind of woman on the Australian Sail GP team, and we got to speak to her during the Sydney event, and that was really inspirational, seeing how she puts up with all the guys on board. And so I think that's a big motivation for me to one day get on one of those big F50s.
Ah, they're an amazing boat. Tell me a little bit about what this this race and this program is doing for you. Are you receiving training actually in how to use the boats, or are you just expected to know? Do you have a coach?
Yep. So the first time I actually went sailing on the WASP was in the Sydney event. So that was last December. So before that, I had no foiling experience whatsoever. I normally sail quite slow, small dinghies called laser radial. So it was a big change for me. We obviously got a few days of training in before the racing, and we had some great coaches there. And after that, I haven't been on the WASP, you know, since December. So I'm kind of trying to hunt down a WASP right now to kind of get some training days in before I leave for San Fran. And then once we get over there, I think there's 3 days of training before the racing starts. And then obviously there's also some onshore activities. So we get to spend a day with the Australian Sail GP team, obviously go to their briefing and launch their boat and all that. So that's going to be really exciting. And obviously quite a few meet and greets, which are really cool.
Last question for you. We have Jack, so we'll bring him in the next segment, and you can go back to bed, Brooke. hopefully we didn't make you too jet-lagged. But what are you most looking forward to just, you know, traveling as you were as a de facto ambassador for your country? What are you looking forward to flying the Australian flag over here?
That's a hard question. I think I'll just be really excited, quite proud. Obviously, I want to try my best, learn a lot, represent Australia and see what happens.
Great stuff from Brooke Wilson, who will be racing in the Inspire Racing program of SailGP coming up here on March 26th, 27th in San Francisco. Safe travels, Brooke. We look forward to greeting you here in America.
Yes, I look forward to meeting you in person.
Bye.
All right. Bye. And I can tell you, Karen, the times that I've had to get up and do anything at 4:30 in the morning, you're basically jet lagged for the next day.
I know.
So that was nice of her.
Well, that of course, that's for those who don't wake up at 4 o'clock already.
I'll have to send her a case of what's that stuff they use? Not the Marmalite. What's that horrible spread they put on their stuff? Vegemite. Thank you, Dominic.
Oh, Vegemite.
Yeah, Marmalite's in England. She'd probably
want something from San Francisco. Maybe some Ghirardelli chocolate. You know, I've noticed when I go different places in the world and I try and show solidarity by doing what they're doing, they go, no, we want the American stuff.
You want
stuff,
the Ghirardelli?
Right?
Yeah, give me some crab and some sourdough bread. All right, when we come back, we will speak to another young Aussie sailor, Jack Ferguson. Rick Tittle, Karen Lyle, come on back.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk. We are listening to a conversation between Captain Johan Steinke and his shipmate.
Today I have one of my dearest old shipmates with me, Josh Scornavacci. He is incredibly talented in every way. What was your first sail like on Bounty, your first night out?
The first day sailing on Bounty was actually the best day, or one of the best days I've ever had out on the water. It was my first day sailing in the ocean. And we had just gotten done a big maintenance period in Puerto Rico for a whole month. So I'd been on the boat for a month, but we hadn't sailed at all. I believe it was about a 14-day transit, 12 or 14 days long, long transit for my first transit at sea. And we left Puerto Rico, and the water was beautiful, very clear. You could see pretty far, very blue. Immediately, they were flying fish everywhere, and it was the first time I ever saw them. So that was exciting for me. And they weren't the small ones you see in California. They were like the ones that are about 3 feet long. So big flying fish. They can skip across a football field in like three jumps. It was really cool to see as somebody who went to school for biology and to study animals. That was exciting.
Yeah, it's really hard for people to visualize what they actually look like in real life. Like I remember, I was so impressed. It's magical. You just, that's why I put them in my second kid's book, because I'm like, They're amazing.
They're crazy.
You just look at it and you're like, this can't be real.
It's a cool thing to talk about. They go so far, it just doesn't look physically possible.
Yeah.
The swish of their tail and their 100 feet jump, which is amazing. But they were jumping like that because they were being chased by a megapod of common dolphins, which are also really beautiful. So most people know what bottlenose dolphins look like, but common dolphins are smaller and very colorful. They've got yellow and gray and black and all sorts of beautiful patterns. We actually saw a little bit on the way in.
Yeah, I know. I was concentrating on the channel. So for those of you who know, Josh and I just came in on the AJ Meerwald, which is a schooner. So we were talking about the different rigging, the Bounty being a square rigger. Yeah, the square riggers look bigger, even if they're dimensionally not. So we were going down the channel, AJ Meerwald. It's a channel I've never been in, lots of current. I was not concentrating on the freaking dolphins.
They were dolphins.
Lovely guys.
But then, we climbed aloft. That was my first time going aloft underway. So I climbed aloft and set the topsail. We went out on the head rigs, set the fore topmast staysail, and we sailed off. And with the dolphins following and the flying fish.
Johann Steinke is the author of the illustrated children's book, The Greatest Captain in the World. For more information, please visit SailSportTalk.com.
Sports Byline in your present and your future for the next segment with Karen Lyle. I'm Rick Tittle. When we're talking about sailing with SailSportTalk.com. Most specifically, we are speaking to the sailors from down under in New Zealand. And that's because right out here in San Francisco, on March 26th, 27th, we will have the Mubadala United States Sail Grand Prix and the Inspire Racing Program for younger sailors. We were just speaking with Brooke Wilson, a young lady from Australia, and now we will go talk to a young guy. It is Jack Ferguson, who also will be coming out, and he will be competing in the grand final as well. Jack, welcome to the program. I know it's the middle of the night over there, so we appreciate it. First of all, do you know Brooke?
Yeah, it's good to be here. I've known Brooke for a long time. We've been racing since we were kids in the Optimus class, so yeah, know her well.
So you'd be traveling together, or you just meet up here?
Yeah, flying together. We're actually arriving a day or two early, so we're going to have to figure out some accommodation and something to do early with ourselves, but yeah.
So Jeff, you just had an exciting race there. Jack, you had an exciting race there in Australia. Tell us about one of those moments in the race where you really felt like you were in the zone and just, you know, pulling ahead and making it work.
Yeah, so for us, day two was a super windy day. It was about 20-25 knots on Sydney Harbour, huge waves, and that day that was when it all came together for me. Those conditions favour me, and it was just really fun for me battling around that course in the big waves, big winds, and yeah, I think that was the moment where I was like, I can't wait to go to, well, I didn't know about San Fran at the time, but I was like, whatever opportunity this is going to bring, I'm really keen. It was a lot of fun.
Jack, how much of sailing do you think is an innate athletic ability or just a cognitive ability to read the waves, and how much of it do you think could it just be taught? I mean, how much of it do you think is in your blood, and how much of it do you have to, like, work at it?
I think when you're starting out, there's definitely something to be said for natural talent. But personally, I think just time on the water and hours is where it all comes from.
Yeah. How did the experience you had sailing on other boats translate into the Wasp when you started to sail that one?
Yeah, so believe it or not, we actually, my family, we took ownership of boat number 59, Wasp number 59, I think. So one of the first boats in the world. And that was at a time when I was still in the Optimus class. So I think it's actually the other way around, where the Wasp has really helped me in all my other sailing. So yeah, I think, the Wasp has been a really good class just for me to get a taste of high-performance sailing. I think it's the other way around for me.
Now, in these races that you had in Australia, what was the competition like? What did you have to worry about or think about or pay attention to when you went out there on the water? Did you know your competitors?
So I knew everyone competing pretty well. I guess just because the racing was so short and sharp, they're only 2 or 3 minute races on a slalom course, which means we're racing downwind, and just the goal was pretty much just to pull off 4 jibes as well as you could and go as fast as you can. So in the racing, it was just really, you had to be really on top of just keeping everything together, putting trust in your boat handling, and yeah, just getting across the finish line.
Hey, we're speaking with Jack Ferguson, by the way, 18-year-old Australian sailor competing here in San Francisco, coming up here in a few weeks in the Inspire program of Sail GP. Is there a monsoon, or are you talking to us in the shower?
It is pretty wet outside. The last few weeks, the last few weeks, it's been raining pretty much nonstop. So, yeah.
So what is it like to carry the Australian flag? Because I was just saying with Brooke, your country, not unlike America, but even more than us, you guys are a really, really sporty lot.
Yeah, it's really an honor to be competing on a world stage like this and representing my country. I've represented my country in sailing before, done a few world championships here and there, but this is something special for sure.
So you said that you're sailing downwind on a short race, jibing. How does jibing work? Can you describe for us, those of us who sail on sloops, you know, what the experience is for jibing? Because that wing that you have, it's really more of a wing than it is a sail, it seems to me. Is it all the way out, or is it just a short little flip from one side to the other? What's that like?
Yeah, so jibing the Wasp, it's not really much like a conventional boat because you're on the foil. So we're completely focused on stuff like balance and our rate of turn. And yeah, so for the trim of the sail, it's usually doesn't actually matter that much, to be honest. We're pretty much 100% focused on just getting our bodies through the boat as quickly as possible and making sure that our rate of turn matches up with the heel of the boat, so how far tipped over we are. And then, yeah, that's the main two stuff, things we're looking at.
Do you have to keep the boat more level to stay on the foils, or can you have heel, and if so, how much?
Yeah, a flat boat's generally pretty good for a maneuver like that, but sometimes we can give it a little bit of leeward heel to sort of carve into the turn.
Jack, in any other sport, if you were one of the best at what you did at 18 and you're traveling the world, you would have scouts all over the place, professional scouts, college scouts, whatever it was. So how does that work in the world of sailing? Are there people, are there sponsors, are they keeping their eye on you? Are they contacting you about that?
Not at the moment, but I'm very open to someone contacting me about stuff like that. But yeah.
Well, and this SailGP has really put together this Inspire Sailing program to develop basically sailors that can come in to the boats on the F-50s in the future. So in essence, this is one race that is kind of setting the trend in that. But, you know, have you done other races as well before you became involved in the Inspire Sailing program?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of work in the Optimus class, also the 420, and I've done a lot of time in the Wasp previously as well. So, and I've also just started an Olympic campaign in the 49er. So that's where I'm at in my sailing right now. This Inspire opportunity just came up when I saw the announcement on Facebook, and I was like, gotta be at that, gotta give it a shot. So that's how that came about, and yeah.
What has been the, no one's perfect, strengths and weaknesses? What are some of the things that you and your coaches are telling you to work on right now?
Is that in for the my 49er campaign or in the Wasp?
Just sailing in general.
Sailing in general? I think I've always been pretty good at, like, reading shifts and understanding wind and stuff like that. My physical ability as an athlete could probably use some work. And I think in the Wasp specifically, because I'm a bit of a, I think I'm like 75, 80 kilos. I'm not sure what that converts to in pounds, but I think the light air is probably my biggest area to work on in the Wasp, just because of my, I'm a bit heavier than all the other guys at San Fran, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, I think you're going to really like the weather here, as in the winds that we have. I'm hoping that we have some good winds for you, because it has been a bit light. We're here in the winter season, and sometimes it's 25 knots, and sometimes it's like 2. I don't. How much wind do you need to actually move a Wasp?
Yeah, so to get on the foils, we need about 6 or 7 knots on the big foils, and yeah, and then once we're up, we're pretty much no worries to race. So yeah, 6 or 7 knots, and then we can carry the the boat through the range to 25, 30 knots.
Oh, that's actually pretty good to get up on foils at 6 or 7 knots. That must be a very light boat.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they weigh, but it's not much.
So what was the competition like just to get to be able to come to San Francisco? How many did you have to beat out, and how close was it?
Yeah, so the Inspire in Sydney, we had 8 boys and 8 girls competing, and we were selected from a lot of applicants. And yeah, so it was 7 other boys that we were racing in my flight. So the boys and the girls were racing separately. And it was a total of, I think, 7 or 8 races that made up the series.
What's your hope for the future?
So I guess my ultimate goal is to be on an F50 one day. I'd like to reach that goal as soon as possible. But at the moment, I'm fully committed to my 49er campaign, and I've got my eyes set on Paris 2024 Olympics. So, yeah, I think that's the goal for now. But SailGP and the America's Cup and other forms of professional sailing, that's where I want to be, and I want to make a career out of this sport just because I love it. So, yeah.
Is the ultimate the America's Cup? And as we know, in the America's Cup, you could actually be at the helm of a boat from a different country as well. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think this top end of the sport is somewhere I really want to be. So, yeah, I'd love to helm an America's Cup boat one day, and it'd be really cool for that to be an Australian boat, but can make do with whoever.
So of the sailors that you're looking at in the SailGP teams for the F50s, who do you admire the most? Who are your idols or mentors?
I definitely idolize Tom Slingsby and Nathan Outeridge, I think. I've done a little bit of work with Nathan Outeridge on the on Lake Macquarie where he lives in the 49er. Not much, but yeah, I really want to be like those blokes when I'm a bit older, Tom and Nate. Yeah, that's.
I was talking to Tom Slingsby when he was in Italy just before before Nathan won that race, and he was talking about the light winds and how challenging that is. Every racer, every team has their strengths. Do you follow the races, the SailGP races, really closely, and the technology and the reports, or is that rather new to you?
Yeah, I've been watching it live since season 1. Yeah, I really love watching the racing, and I like to sometimes put myself in their positions and see what I'd do. But yeah, it's I love the whole competition.
Jack Ferguson in Australia on his way to San Francisco here in the last weekend in March to take place in the Inspire Racing Program of SailGP. Jack, thanks for coming on, and best of luck, and we look forward to seeing you here in America.
Thank you so much for having me. Can't wait to be there.
Looking forward to seeing you sail.
And Karen, as we say goodbye to you, you're going to meet all these young peeps, aren't you?
I am going to meet them, and also our old familiars, Tom Slingsby and Nathan Outeridge, and all the other new teams. We have new teams, 9 teams this time.
More at sailsporttalk.com.
Yep. See you next week.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone. And AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them. And it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Are you 60 plus and love to travel? Introducing the Senior Travel Discount Network, brought to you by Low Cost Airlines. Call us anytime, day or night, and save up to 75% on your airline and hotel reservations. We can help you save a ton of money to fly almost anywhere. We have inside discounts on over 500 airlines and 500,000 hotels worldwide. And when you call and mention the discount code 60 plus, we'll give you an extra free night with your qualified air and hotel reservation. Now you can get the best prices on air and hotel reservations with your phone. We make it easy and fast for you to save money and book a trip. Remember, call the Senior Travel Discount Network. Mention the discount code 60 plus for your free hotel night with your qualified reservation. Call now.
800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. That's 800-493-6118.
Where did you get those clothes? At the toilet store?
I'm so disgusted by Rick Tittle that I find him very intoxicating.
All right, thank you for that. Rest of the way, let's talk some sports. Come on. By the way, you just don't talk about WNBA highlights unless there's something controversial. The league, the WNBA, has fined the Liberty League, New York, or sorry, the New York Liberty, that's the name of the team, $500,000 for taking chartered flights last season. Teams are not allowed to pay for chartered flights because of competitive balance rules. So last season during the finals, the league announced it would pay for charter flights for the Sky and Mercury when they needed to travel between Phoenix and Chicago between games two and three, which was very rare, but they made an exception under the new commissioner, Miss Kathy Engelbert, who's been on this show. But under the rules, charter flights are banned in order to maintain competitive balance. Now, I remember going to the airport and seeing Dave Stewart and Dave Henderson sitting there, Tony Phillips, because they were flying commercial. Everybody did until like Mark Cuban said, I'll pay for our own plane. So Joe and Clara Tsai, they own the Liberty. Apparently, after they were caught, a furious league official said, we'll give you $1 million fine and take away your draft picks and maybe even terminate the franchise. Well, calmer heads have prevailed, and they've been fined $500,000, the biggest fine in the history of the league. And in fact, they did pay for charter flights as a trip to Napa Valley over Labor Day weekend for a team bonding experience. They weren't even allowed to do that. So there you go. You better get your ass on Southwest like the rest of us. Whoop, whoop.